بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى، وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: وإذ أخذنا ميثاق بني إسرائيل لا تعبدون إلا الله وبالوالدين إحسانا. صلوات And when we put the covenant of the children of Israel to worship none but Allah and have nice and beautiful behavior towards the parents, in several verses of the Holy Quran we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the matter of ihsan and good behavior towards the parents soon after the matter of tawheed, which shows the importance of this subject in the eyes of Allah, and that this matter is the second most important thing and important duty in the eyes of Allah, like Allah Tabarakallahu rahmatullah alayh has mentioned in his tafsir. And in another verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا. We have done this tawsiya, this wasiyyat, this advice, this, in other words, a duty, made it a duty for the human to have good behavior towards the parents, towards his parents. And وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ, and Allah Tabarakallahu rahmatullah alayh has said that the word al-insan in the ayat, since this al-islam, al-insan, this al-islam on top of the word insan is the al-islam of istighraq. In Arabic we have al-islam, which is called the definite article, like in English we say there. Although there is not at all the translation of al-islam, it can never be at the place of there, because al-islam, the definite article in Arabic, has 13 meanings and there has only one meaning in English. So it can never be translated in the real sense as there, but that's just a close translation. So one of those 13 meanings in Arabic for the alif and lam, the definite article added on top of an ism or a noun, is istighraq. And istighraq in Arabic means that includes every person included in that noun. Every mustaq, everybody over whom this noun is applied. So Allah Ta'ala says that وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ means that Allah, in other words, is saying that the duty of ihsan towards the parents is a duty on every single human. And Allah says that this is regardless of his religion, regardless of anything, every single human belonging to any religion has this divine duty on his neck to respect and do good behavior towards the parents. وَوَصَيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, says that man aza walidayhi, and this is narrated in Mustadrak al-Wasail, one of the famous books of hadith. He says, Prophet says that man aza walidayhi faqad aazani. Whosoever provides any aziyat, pleases his parents in any form, he has done aziyat towards me. Whosoever harms the parents, teases his parents, he has actually teased me. Man aza walidayhi faqad aazani. وَمَنْ آذَانِ فَقَدْ آذَ اللَّهِ. And whosoever teases me, in fact he has teased Allah. وَمَنْ آذَانِ فَهُوَ مَلْعُونَ. وَمَنْ آذَ اللَّهَ فَهُوَ مَلْعُونَ. And whosoever teases Allah, gives aziyat to Allah, he is mal'oon. He is cursed. In fact, this is true for every mu'min, especially for the parents, because parents are superior towards their children and there are lots of hukuk. But that phenomena is true for every mu'min, because another hadith we have from the Holy Prophet where he says that man aza mu'minan faqad aazani. Whosoever gives any aziyat, any harm, any torture, any teasing towards any mu'min, he has teased me. وَمَنْ آغَانِ فَقَدْ آغَ اللَّهِ. And whosoever teases me has provided that aham or aziyat or teach towards Allah. وَمَنْ آغَ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ مَلْعُونٌ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ وَالزَّبُورِ وَالْفِرْقَانِ. And whosoever teases Allah is مَلْعُون and cursed in Tawrat, in Zabur, in Injil, and in Furqan, that means Quran, all four of those books. So it is understandable easily that even the parents, although it may be by a word only, is a crime and haram in Islam. So in just one word that may break the heart of your parents or either of your parents is haram and is equal to teasing the Prophet and Allah and becoming eligible for the curse of Allah. In another riwayat narrated in Zawwat al-Jannat, we find that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says that awwalu ma kutiba ala al-lawh, the first thing that was written over the lawh, all of you have heard about that lawh. The first thing ever written by the will of Allah over the Lord was Anallahu la ilaha illa ana. I am the Allah and there is no God other than me. Anallahu la ilaha illa ana. Man radiya anhu walidahu fa ana anhu razin. وَمَنْ سَخَطَ عَلَيْهِ وَالِدَاهُ فَأَنَا عَلَيْهِ سَاخِطُ. The Holy Prophet says, the first thing written on Nuh was that I am the Lord. I am the only one who is worthy of worship, and whosoever has his parents agreed with him, pleased with him, وَمَنْ رَضِيَ عَلَيْهِ وَالِدَاهُ فَأَنَا عَلَيْهِ رَاضٍ أَنَا عَنْهُ رَاضٍ. I am also pleased with him. وَمَنْ سَخَطَ عَلَيْهِ وَالِدَاهُ, and whosoever has his parents displeased or angry over him, فَأَنَا عَلَيْهِ سَاخِطٍ. I am also displeased with him. This is the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever wrote on the Nuh. Soon after mentioning his letter of Tawheed, he wrote that my pleasure is in the pleasure of the parents, and my displeasure is in the displeasure of the parents. That's it. Now, you have the key to realize and to determine your course of life. If you want to please Allah, here it is. You have to please your parents. And if you want to displease Allah and become eligible to the wrath of Allah, this is the way of becoming deprived of all the blessings of God. Once in one of the hadith, it is there that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, it is really shocking for a person. The more you think about these adab and these ahkam in Islam, it surprises you to what extent our imams have made emphasis on these points. They have made clear these things in such a detail. Imam Sajjad al-Islam, in one of his sayings, he says that I am afraid of eating food along with my mother because if I take something in front of her and she may be willing to pick up that thing before me, but I took it before her and she became deprived of eating that thing because I took it before her, possibly, and since I could not fulfill that wish of her because she was willing to eat something, but I took it before her and I ate it. So she was willing by heart to take that thing, to get that thing, but I ate it before her. So I am afraid of eating food with my mom that possibly I can become aq of my parents because I deprived her of something which she was willing to get and she could not get because of me. Even to that extent, even in eating food, not to deprive the parents about anything that they wish they want from the children. We don't even think of those aspects in our everyday life that our imams are pointing towards us. What to talk of those people, those silly people who are insulting their parents, humiliating the parents, saying bad words, na'udzubillah, abusing their parents. And in some cases even we find some lost people who even hit their parents. we find in a hadith that Prophet Musa ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam once asked Allah that Aina sadiqi fulan al-shaheed, I would like to know where is that friend of mine who became shaheed in the path of Allah, where is he? And Allah said, Sinnah, that friend of yours who was your friend in this dunya, who became shaheed, he is in the hell. And Prophet Musa said that Alaysa wa'attal ash-shuhada al-jannah, didn't you promise to send the shuhada to the paradise? And Allah responded, Bala, yes, sure, I promised, but كَانَ مُصِرًّا عَلَىٰ أُقُوقِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. It's an eye-opener, brothers and sisters. Allah said to Prophet Musa that كَانَ مُصِرًّا عَلَىٰ أُقُوقِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. That person who was your friend and who became shaheed and who is right now in the hell, because he was insisting on his behavior, bad behavior towards his parents, so that he was arch of his parents. They disassociated him from them. كَانَ مُصِرًّا عَلَىٰ أُقُوقِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَأَنَا لَا أَقْبَلُ مَعَ الْأُقُوقِ عَمَلًا. And that's my law, Allah said, that I never accept any amal from the person who is arch of his parents. Go pray as much as you wish to pray. Go for Hajj, give a ziyarat of Karbala or Najaf, whatever you want to do. Just donate as much money as you want. Build 1,000 centers for Islam. Nothing is acceptable. If you don't behave properly towards your parents, وَأَنَا لَا أَقْبَلُ مَعَ الْأُقُوقِ أَبَلًا, I don't accept any act with the cook. If you are arm of your parents, none of your acts are acceptable. No matter what you do, waste your time. That's it. Isn't it surprising that person who became shaheed? Prophet Musa is saying in his hadith that Aina sadiqi fulan al-shaheed, he became shaheed in the path of Allah. He gave his life, but still not acceptable by Allah. So, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam has said that Allahumma, like what I mentioned, a part of that excerpt in the last speech, Allahumma ja'alni ahabuhuma hibat al-sultan al-asuf wa abarruhuma birra al-imn al-ra'uf. Oh my Lord, make me such that I fear my parents the way a tyrant ruler is feared off, and do good towards my parents the way a loving mom performs good towards her child. And then he says, he moves forward, that waj'al ta'ati lahuma, this part I did not mention, waj'al ta'ati lahuma wa birri bihuma, and make my obedience towards them and my good behavior towards them أَقَرَّ الْعَيْن مِنْ رَقْتَةِ الْوَسْنَاءِ. وَسْنَاء, رَقْتَةِ الْوَسْنَاءِ. What a beautiful statement from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. He says that, have you seen a person who has not slept since several nights? A person who has not slept since several nights, how much he is willing and keen to sleep as quickly as he can so that he can relax. And how much he loves to sleep as quickly as he can so that he can come out of that pressure. Yeah, one of those tortures in the time of Shah of Iran, La'natullahi alayh, One of the starters they used to give to our mujtahids and scholars in the prison through Sawak was that they used to keep the scholars awake for several nights consecutively in a row. Several nights, let's suppose 10 nights, 15 nights. You can never sleep for 15 days. What would happen to you? Whenever a person who used to stay to sleep, there was a drop of something that drops over his head. So you can never sleep after every few seconds. Something used to drop on your forehead, so you can wake up suddenly. That is one of those structures. So how much a person who is deprived of sleeping for several nights loves to sleep? Imam Sajjad al-Islam says, make my obedience towards my parents, wa birru bihima, and my good behavior towards my parents, aqarral an, more beloved in my eyes than the love of sleep in the eyes of such a person who has not slept in several nights. How much he loves to sleep? His love towards sleep should be less than my love towards the obedience of my parents. Can you understand how beautiful the statement is and how much important it is in the eyes of Imam Sajjad al-Islam? That my obedience towards the parents should be that beloved to me. Not just I am doing obedience just out of, you know, that I am so much under pressure and I don't want to do it, but it's just imposed on me. No. You should love to obey your parents. You should love to do good acts towards your parents. Just the way a person who has just slept loves to sleep, even more than that. And not, he did not stop here. He said, وَجْعَلْ تَعَتِي لَهُمَا وَدِرِّي بِهِمَا أَقَرَّ الْعَيْنِ مِنْ رَكْتَةِ الْوَفْمَاءِ. And then he says, after that a person who was شُرْبَةِ الْدَمْعَانِ. Another example that he mentions. Just like a person who is thirsty, how much he needs to drink water, his desire towards drinking water should be less than my desire towards serving my parents, being obedient to my parents, being good towards my parents. I should have more desire than a person who is thirsty and he desires water to relieve his thirst. I should be more desiring towards obedience and good behavior to the parents. Can you find a better statement than that? And then he says, till I reach a stage, Imam Sajjad has already reached that stage. He doesn't need to say these things. He is the best of the humans. He is teaching us to straighten our behavior. He says, hatta anfira ala hawaya hawahuma wa uqaddima ala rizaya rizahuma, so that I reach such a stage that I always sacrifice and give more priority and more importance to their wishes and wants over my wishes and wants. I always give more priority to what they want over what I want. وَأُقَدِّمَ عَلَى رِضَايَ رِضَاهُمَا, and I always bring forward their pleasure over my pleasure, their rida over my rida. I don't give importance and priority to my rida first. Well, I wish to do that. I want to sleep, but my mom says, come and help me. Now I want to sleep. I want to go and sit with my friends. I want to go into a party. I want to go into the library, but my dad says, no, you have to stay here. I want to go to play in the soccer field, but my mom says, no. And even like mentioned with the example of mustahabbat, where these things are playing is not mustahab in Islam. Even mustahab can turn into haram. The biggest of the mustahabbat, like the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, there cannot be anything more bigger than the ziyarat of Imam Hussain. It becomes haram for me if your mother or father asks you to stay home and help them. It will be haram for you to travel. Here in Salatul Layl, the Mother Shah would turn haram for you if they are asking for you to help them. This is the Shariat of Allah. This is not anybody's desires and wishes. You have to accept the Shariat of Allah of our Creator. So, Hatta Unfira ala Hayaya Hawahoma. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says, I reach such a stage that I should always give priority to their wants, their wishes, what they want over what I want, and their rida and pleasure over my pleasure and my rida. Are we such? Now, in old days, we find people used to carry their parents on their shoulders. Let's suppose the mother is sick, the doctor lives 7 miles away, 10 kilometers away, and the son has to carry his mother on the shoulders, on his back, to see the doctor. Nowadays, we find the kids have best of the cars available with them, and the mother is asking them for help for taking to the doctor, but he is still not ready to take the mother in his car. And then we say our du'as is not accepted. What to talk of du'a? None of your amal is accepted. None of your hajj, none of your zakat, none of your qums, none of your jihad, none of your prayers, nothing is accepted. I just told you the hadith that Allah said to Prophet Musa, أَنَا لَا أَقْبَلُ مَعَ الْأُقُوتِ أَمَلًا. I don't accept any of the acts along with uquq. If you are aq of your parents, none of the heralds are accepted. And the aq, I already explained in the previous, one of the previous speeches, that aq does not necessarily mean that one of your parents should come up and say it orally, verbally, that now on you are aq. Well, this is one of those ways to express at Islam, this is not necessary. Just simple disobedience towards their command entitles you to become aq automatically according to the law of Allah. No need for them to express. No need for them to say that you are aq. If you disobey, if you misbehave, if you do not fulfill their demand. Of course, if their demand does not coincide with the law of Allah, like wajib and haram, which there is no itaat for anybody in wajib and haram things other than Allah. So, salawat. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Amir al-Mu'mineen, that Ankaram al-Jar, it's a very nice hadith, although every hadith is beautiful and nice. Ankaram al-Jar, Prophet is saying to Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ankaram al-Jar, wa in kana aw walau kana kafiran. Respect your neighbor. There are three advices given by Prophet to Amir al-Mu'mineen. It is mustahab in Islam to give advice to your fellow mu'mins, to your brothers. And the Prophet doesn't need no advice, Amir al-Mu'mineen need no advice. They are rich and ghani from any advice. They have reached their perfection already. But these are training for us to understand and realize, to give and to receive advices from each other. Nobody should think that now I am aloof, I am so much perfect and superior, I don't need no advice from anybody. You are in societies, you find people, if you advise them to do something good, they feel bad. They feel bad about it. Who are you to advise me? It's my own personal life. Who are you to talk about hijab? Well, if I don't do, so what? It's nothing to do with you. None of your business. No. No. I'm sorry, this is Islam. This is not Judaism or Christianity or Buddhism or Hinduism or whatever. This is Islam. Like it or not, we have the law of Allah, not the law of the humans. In Allah, in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Mu'mineen wal-Mu'minat, Ba'adhuhum awliya'u ba'ad. It's a verse of Holy Quran. The Mu'mineen and Mu'minat are awliya'. They have walayat. They have supremacy. They have tasallut. They have guardianship. They have rule and hukumat and government over each other. What are the bounds and limits of their governments over each other? The ayat mentions itself. What is that? يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ. Ayat mentions itself. This is their limits. These are their limits. Mu'mineen and Mu'minat have the walayat and guardianship and supremacy and tasallut and rule over each other to this much extent, that they do amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar towards each other. Nobody can say, well, who are you to do amr bil ma'ruf to me? No, I'm a Muslim, you are also a Muslim. And that is sufficient for each of us to have this much walayat and supremacy and rule over each other. Now we can instruct you, we can guide you. Everybody can guide each other. Whenever we find anybody doing the haram, na'uzubillah, or neglecting our wajib, na'uzubillah, we have the right given by Quran to every mu'min and every mu'mina to instruct each other. And nobody can say it's none of your concern. It's my body, I can do what I wish to do. No. This is a Western thing. It's your body. No, nothing is yours. At Islam, we believe everything belongs to Allah. It's not your body. It's an amanat in your hands. It's not your body. No. If it was your body, yeah, you would have been implementing your own rules over your own property. Makes sense. But it is not. Nothing is your property. Al-mulku lillahi al-wahid al-qahhar. Nothing belongs to anybody else. Everything is ruled over by the rule of Allah. Nothing is outside His realm. Everything lies in His control. Whether you believe it or not, even if you disbelieve, you harm yourself. Let's suppose the whole world disbelieves in Allah. So what? He will still remain Allah. Nobody can take no charge, no control. Nobody can snatch away anything out of His control. We will harm ourselves. So, the Prophet said to Amir al-Mu'mineen in this nasihat, that أَكْرَمُ الْجَارِ وَإِنْ كَانَ أَوْ وَلَوْ كَانَ كَافَرًا. Do the ikram. Honor your neighbor. Respect your neighbor, although he may be or she may be a kafir. You have to respect your neighbor. This is the law of Islam. You have to have good behavior and very, you know, honoring behavior towards our neighbors. And in old days there used to be 40 houses. Well, nowadays a person can reach the whole globe, has, you know, contracted into a very small global community, reachable for everybody easily, wherever you want to reach. Now if you find there are a bunch of fellow Mu'mins sitting in Bangladesh, let's suppose, in India, in Afghanistan, in Bahrain, in Pakistan, and wherever, and they are deserving, it's our duty to help the poor, the deserving, the fellow Mu'mins who need our help. Nobody can say, well, they are far away. No, it's all reachable now because the community is now contracting day by day. And especially helping those people who are subjected to problems because they are Shias, because they are Mu'mins. This is a very delicate point which I want to make clear. There are lots of problems for maybe everybody. those of the Muslims who are subjected to problems in different countries because they are Muslims, not because of their own personal evil behavior, not because of their own family problems, those are also problems, but especially those Mu'mins who are subjected to problems because being a Mu'min, because of they being a Mu'min. That's the very key point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Holy Quran says, مَنْ قَتَلَ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ. Whosoever kills a Mu'min intentionally, his jaza, his punishment, would be Jahannam. And he would remain there forever. Now, our scholars say that in Usul al-Fiqh, we say that ذكر الوصف يشعر بالإلية. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions an attribute, a wasf, a sifat, it shows that this is the cause of that law. Allah then says that مَنْ قَتَلَ مُؤْمِنًا. It does not say مَنْ قَتَلَ إِنْسَانًا. So whosoever kills a mu'min because he was a mu'min due to his iman and religion, that sort of killer deserves to remain in the hell forever. If you kill a mu'min not because of his iman, but you have enmity between each other, or there were two families, or there were two persons fighting each other, and it happened to be, the person murdered happened to be a mu'min, this murderer doesn't deserve the hell forever. Because he killed it for his own personal enmity, not because of his iman. But those who kill a mu'min because he was a mu'min, they are actually killing him because they are enemy of Islam. So this killing is much, much different from any other killing. And those are the mu'mins, wherever they may be, who are subjected to problems because they are mu'mins, who are living in the jails because they are Mu'mins. They have no fault other than they are the followers and lovers of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So many people are killed every day by Sipahi Sahaba. So many people are killed every day by Taliban. Not because they have personal problems, because being Shias, being Mu'mins, because of their iman, because the enemy has enmity towards Allah, towards Quran, towards Ahlul Bayt, and they are the believers in Ahlul Bayt. So those mu'mins, who are subjected to problems because they are mu'mins, not because of their personal matters. Helping such mu'min is the biggest sawab that you can get. And they are your neighbors. They are all your neighbors, and you must take care of them. أَكْرِمُ الْجَارِ وَلَوْ كَانَ. Unfortunately, we find lots of organizations in North America, in Europe, elsewhere, who are helping those of the Mu'mins who are subjected to problems, not because of their iman, because of their other matters. Well, sure, they are also Mu'mins. You get sawab, but that's a very less sawab. I'm sorry to say. And there are, some of them are intentionally, some of those organizations and people are intentionally neglecting those of the Mu'mins who are active towards iman, towards their religious duties, intentionally to please the Yahud and Nasara. Not to be facing any problem in the Western countries. And that is exactly what Islam did not want you to do. And that's exactly what is done by them. I don't know whether you understand my point or not. This is a pity of the Islamic Ummah, that majority of the khums and the donations and the helps and the fitra is sent by different organizations and different people, sent to those of the Mu'mins throughout the Islamic world who are doing nothing for the Islamic movement. And those people who are subjected to jails and tortures and punishments and problems because they are Mu'min, they are not at fault, are neglected. to please the Yahud and Nasara and to weaken the Islamic awareness in the Islamic Ummah, using the Khums money to destabilize the Islamic awareness globally. Everything is noticed, nobody can run away. Using the Khums with our own wishes and desires against the mission of the Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. With one of the biggest pity. So Prophet said to Amir Mumineen that Akram al-Jar, respect your neighbor, do ikram and honor of your neighbor, although he may be kafir. And the second thing, Akram al-Zayf, respect your guest, although he may be a kafir. And we all have heard the famous story of the Jewish lady who was a neighbor of the Holy Prophet, who used to throw garbage every day on the head of the Prophet as soon as he used to come out of his home. And Prophet used to wear his white dress, which is mustahab in Islam. And black is makruh in Islam, except for the sorrow of Imam Hussein, in that case it would become mustahab to wear black. Other than the sorrow of Imam Hussein, it is makruh to wear black. So Prophet used to wear white. Imagine a person coming out of his home, so as soon as he gets out of his door, with white, brilliant, shining dress, and a lady from the next door throws garbage right on his head with all that stinking smell. And this is the akhlaq of the Holy Prophet, who is at the peak and summit of the best of the morals, unimaginable for us. His Highness is unimaginable for us. But he never said a word of distress or curse. Never. Instead, the wonder that he didn't find the lady throwing garbage, and Prophet inquired about her, and somebody told that she's sick. Prophet went into his home and asked about her, inquired about her health. And the lady, instead of telling about her health, she said, first tell me how to become a Muslim. There is an effect of akhlaq. And Prophet Muhammad spread Islam with the akhlaq, not with the sword. Contrary to what the Orientalists say about Islam, we don't care about their lies. Islam is never spread. The Islam of Prophet Muhammad is never and was never spread by a sword. So, respect your guest, although he may be a kafir, and respect your parents. The third point that Prophet mentioned to Amir al-Mu'mineen, respect your parents, although they may be kafir. You have to honor them. You have to be ikram. And Prophet says that, Ya Ali, رَأَيْتُ عَلَىٰ بَابِ الْجَنَّةِ مَكْتُوبًا, I saw on the door of the paradise. This statement was written on top of the door of the paradise. I saw, أَنْتِ مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ بَخِيلٍ وَمُرَاءٍ وَعَاقٍ وَنَمَّامٍ. Oh Ali, I saw this statement written on the door of the paradise, that you are haram for everyone who is bakhil and a miser. Well, this is out of our subject. I don't want to go into the subject of bukhul. It has lots of details in Islam and different levels of bukhul and different rules pertaining to each level. The minimum and the highest level of bukhul. The person, the minimum, the Prophet says that al-bakhil man waqala bis-salam. Bakhil, a miser, is the one who is not even ready to say salam to other mu'min. He's also a bakhil. He's doing bukhul towards salam. But that's one of the minimum levels. And there are higher levels as well, which is out of our discussion. those people who are neglecting their duties, their monetary obligations towards fellow mu'mins globally, are the biggest of the misers, and paradise is haram on them. Prophet said to Amir al-Mu'mineen, now, أنتم محرمة على كل بخيل. You are haram on every bakhil. It's written on the door, Prophet said, of the heaven. And the mura'in. And you are haram on everyone who performs riya', who has riya', shows off. Good acts that he performs, he shows off to the people to get the praise from the people. Let the people praise me. I read the majlis with the intention that as much people do wah wah and praise me after the majlis. And if people don't do wah wah, I feel bad about it. So I'm expecting wah wah and praise from the people. So this is not ibadat. This is wasted of time of mine and yours both if I expect from you to praise me. This is part of riya'. Again, it has several rules and several levels, which is out of our subject. Maybe some other time, if life permits, we can talk about riya and its levels, which is one of the most dangerous sicknesses of the soul. So Prophet said that anti muharramatun. Before I move forward, one small hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen from Nahj al-Balagha. Where he says that Ivamul Khaliq Indaka Yusavvirul Makhluqa Fi Ainik. What a beautiful statement. If we realize this one hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen, we will find our lives being changed totally. We will be a different person. Because he says that the highness of your Creator in your eyes has to decrease the position of his creation, makhluq, in your eyes. If you find that we are doing things to please the people, to get the praise from the people, because we consider the people to be greater than Allah, so we are neglecting our duty towards the Creator at the cost of pleasing the creation and makhluq. So we are denying the greatness of the Creator at the first stage before doing riya. Before a person performs riya in order to get the praise from the people, he denies the greatness of Allah and then he performs riya later. So riya actually precedes a haram. Because you first have to consider Allah to be inferior in order to perform a riya. If you consider Allah to be superior than the people, how dare you can please the people at the cost of displeasing your Creator? You can't. Because you consider Him to be great, greater than everything else. So Amir al-Mu'mineen says, Izzamul Khaliq fi indaka yusawwiru makhluqa fi aynik. It has to make the makhluk smaller in your eyes. If you find the makhluk is big in your eyes, you always care about what the people would say about you. Not what Allah would say about you. Then you must straighten yourself. There is a fault in your iman. So, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Prophet said to Amir al-Mu'mineen that I saw written on the gate of paradise that أنتِ مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ بَخِيلٍ. You are haram on every bakhil, misers. وَمُرَائِن, everyone who has riya'. وَعَاقٍ. We come to the point. And the person who is aq of his parents can never think of entering into the paradise. Can never even imagine. And when the mom, and the person who has his mom, chughal khor, he listens something from this man and goes to inform that person, well, I heard this from that guy, he was saying this and this and this about you, and make enmity between two people. So this is called Lammami. And this is one of those sins that certainly causes fishari qabr in your grave. One of those things that are cause of punishment right in the grave before you reach the Day of Judgment. Well, that is way later. Who knows when is the Day of Judgment? But Lammami, Chughal Khori, is one of those sins that has to be punished certainly in the grave. Whosoever makes enmity between two mu'mins. One of the bigger sins of Islam. So, Jannat is haram. And then somebody asked the Holy Prophet about, well, before I reach that hadith, let me tell you a short story about a man who had lots of gardens and big plantations. And he had his father who used to work on that plantation, that garden, voluntarily. His father used to work in the garden of his son voluntarily. And this son is a very rich man, and a bunch of friends came to see him, and as they saw the man, old man, working in that garden, they asked the son, well, who is this guy? And because the old man was wearing, you know, the old kind of dresses, which are not that chic or that fashionable as the younger generation wears, and this son felt a kind of shameful, in the negative sense, that to mention that he is my father who is working in the garden, because he is a very rich man and his father is working there. So he said to his friends, well, he is one of my servants. Slowly. He said it slowly to his friends, well, he is one of my servants who works in my garden. And the father heard it and was so sad, and his heart was broken. And he cursed the son. You know, it is in Islam there are certain curses which are never rejected by Allah. A mother also curses the children sometimes, but since the mother has more emotions and more awatis, and she's more soft-hearted than the father, so she curses more often than the father, and after cursing she also prays for the son. After a few moments or after some time, she again gets back and again starts praying for his son. But the father is different. Father is not that soft-hearted as the mom. Father does not curse that often. But he curses, when he curses, he doesn't pray after it. Usually it is like that, unlike the mom. And we have hadith from the Holy Prophet saying that Iyakum wa da'wat al-walid. Prophet did not say Iyakum wa da'wat al-walida. No. Iyakum wa da'wat al-walid. Beware of the curse of the father. Beware of the curse of the father. Be warned. Why so much warning, Ya Rasulullah? Why? Because he said, فَإِنَّهَا تُحْتُرْفَعُ فَوْقَ السَّحَابِ. Because the curse of a father is raised over the clouds. يَقُولُ اللَّهُ يَقُولُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks towards that curse and says, Prophet said that Allah says, إِلَيَّ, come towards me. حَتَّى أَسْتَجِيبَ لَهُ, so that I can fulfill you. And Prophet said فإياكم, again he repeated the same statement in the beginning of the beginning, فإياكم ودعوة الوالد, be warned about the curse of the father, be warned, فإنه حد من السيف, because it is sharper than the sword, it is sharper than the sword in its impact. And I will mention some of those examples, inshallah, in the future speeches about that. And we find that when the father cursed the son, and the next day all of his property was damaged, and he turned into a poor person. This is the curse of father. This is the dua which is 100% mustajab according to the hadith of the Prophet. Always. Maybe sometimes it is delayed, but it will certainly be accepted without doubt against the son or the daughter. And then Imam Hussain alayhi salam, sent his son Ali Akbar Salamullahi alayhima to the maqtal. He said it was a really hard moment for an old father to send his son 18 years of age or more. Send your son for shahadat. It was a very severe moment that every father can understand. But in fact, none of the fathers can understand the situation of Imam Hussain, because none of the fathers on earth have a son like Ali Akbar. How can they understand? Because no son is like Ali Akbar, and no son can be like Ali Akbar. Because we have hadith of Imam Hussain, when he sent Ali Akbar, he sent a statement narrated by the historians, Allahumma shahad ala ha'ula al-qawm, O my Lord, be a witness against these people. This is a statement from a broken heart of Imam Hussain ibn Ali, who is the father of a son like Ali Akbar. Statement of a broken heart of a Muslim Imam, who said, O my Lord, be a witness over these people. فَقَدْ بَرَزَ إِلَيْهِمْ غُلَامٌ أَشْبَهُ النَّاسِ بِرَسُولِكَ خَلْقًا وَخُلْقًا وَمَنْطِقًا وَقُلْنَا إِذَا اشْتَقْنَا إِلَى زِيَارَةِ نَبِيِّكَ نَظَرْنَا إِلَيْهِ. O my Lord, be a witness over this nation, over these people. Because right now, the young man who is going towards them, and yet the one who is going towards them, he is such, he is the most resembling person towards your Prophet in his face, in his body, in his behavior, in his sins. In every aspect of the personality of Ali Akbar, he is the most resembling person to your Holy Prophet. وَكُنَّا إِذَا اشْتَقْنَا إِلَى زِيَارَةِ نَبِيَّكَ. And whenever we used to feel very keen to do the ziyarat of your Holy Prophet, what we used to do, we used to look towards the face of Ali Akbar. Whenever we wished to do the ziyarat of the Prophet, we used to see the face of Ali Akbar, how much resembling he is. And then Imam Hussain alayhi salam, after all that, Imam cursed over Ibtisad, Imam cursed, that this is the curse of a father, that this comes out from the heart of a father. That Imam said, that kata Allahu rahimata, kama kata'ta rahimi. May Allah cut your nafl, the way you cut my nafl. Imam said that statement to Umar ibn Saad. And we find that when Imam Hussain alayhi salam came to see Hazrat Sajjad in his qiyam, in the final moments, and Imam Sajjad was waking up. Imam Sajjad looked towards Imam his father, and Imam could not recognize his father, because as somebody asked Imam Sajjad in Medina that you could not recognize your father, Imam Hussain, when he came to your khiyam, Imam Sajjad said that if you had only seen Hussain ibn Ali at that time, do you understand how could I did not recognize my father? Because there were so many injuries from top to bottom, the blood was draining out of the body of Imam Hussain from everywhere. The historians have narrated that there were more than 1900 injuries on the body of Imam Hussain. And Imam Hussain surrendered the asrar and secret of Imamat to Imam Sajjad at the final moments. And Imam Sajjad asked for his father that, Baba, there is Ali ibn Mujahir. And Imam said, Qad qutila, well, he has become shaheed, he is killed. There is Muslim ibn Asada. Imam said, he is killed. There is Zuhair. Imam said, he is killed. And then he said, there is Abul Fazl Abbas. There is my uncle Abul Fazl Abbas. And Imam Hussain said, he is shaheed, he is killed. And there is Qasim. He is also killed. But when Imam Sajjad inquired about Ali Akbar, where is my brother Ali Akbar? The riwayat says that Imam Hussain could not say that Qutila. Imam could not say the same statement about his son, that he is now killed. This is the heart of a father who could not say that Qutila. But instead Imam Hussain said that my son, in fact, they are all only two men who are living right now, all the rest are killed, except me and you, all the rest are killed. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says that Qutila Abi Sabran, my father, he was such a Majnoon that he was killed Sabran. He was killed so gradually by the enemies. In the final time, when Imam Hussain was surrounded by the enemies, somebody is throwing an arrow, somebody is hitting with a spear, somebody is attacking with a sword, somebody is throwing a stone on Imam Hussain. Qutila Abi Sabran, and Imam was gradually subjected to shahadat. He was killed gradually. This is the situation of Imam Hussain. And that is why we find that Sayyidina Sajjad used to recall this situation of Imam Hussain. That he used to say that Qutila Abi Sabran.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته ورحمة الله وبركاته سيعلم الذين ظلموا أيام القرب ينقلبون ما إله بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما يحول بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به رضوانك ومن اليقين ما يهون علينا به مصيبات الدنيا اللهم امتعنا باسماعنا وابصارنا وقواتنا ما احييتنا واجعله الوارث منا ما لها باتم الاسلام كسر بلند فرما باتم الكفر والنفاق كسر مدير فرما انقلاب الاسلامي كي حفاظت فرما تمام علماء ربانيين تمام مراجع كرام بالخصوص رهبر انقلاب كسايا ہمارے سرت برقرار رکھ تمام مؤمنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما تمام اسیران اسلام کا جلد سے رہا فرما تمام مؤمنین کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما تمام مؤمنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما با الہ ہمیں سخت اس دنیا سے نہ